At this time, I'd like to invite the boys and girls, ages K-4 through 3rd grade, to go with my wife to their special children's class. I'd like to invite the rest of you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12, if you would, for our text this evening. Romans, chapter 12. This evening, from the Word of God, we're going to see a very pointed exhortation about serious service for Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12 is known, probably most famous, for verse number 1, which says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." That verse in a nutshell says, look, it is reasonable, it's logical for you to live for Jesus Christ because of all that He's done for you. It just makes sense. And then he goes on to continue throughout the rest of the passage up to the verse which will be our main text tonight. He then goes on to describe the fact that he has given all of us different gifts to serve him with. Now understand this truth. The primary use of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us are to primarily be exercised through the local church. The local church is God's plan for today. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. So let me just start the message by saying this. If you are not a member of, an active in, and serving in a good Bible-preaching, Christ-centered church like this one, you need to get with God's program. You need to get involved serving Jesus Christ. The primary use of the gifts that God has given us is to be in the local church for His glory. Now, we've all been given different gifts. We've all been given different spiritual tools, if you will, to serve our Savior. And they're all different. I am not a handyman. My wife will tell you, I am more destructive in nature than constructive in nature. If you want something built, I'm not your guy. If you need something, you know, knocked down, blown up, burned up, so I'm your guy. You can see me for that. I'll be happy to do that for you. When I have actually, in my limited time, in constructive type things, I've done different projects. I've done residential and I've done commercial. I've worked even just short amounts of time in both of those areas. And when I show up, you know, on the work site, I've got my tool belt, you know, I got a garage sale, it's warped, and you know, my hammers, a couple little tools that I have that are very cheap and probably bought at a garage sale or the dollar store. And I come there and here's all the guys and they've got their tool belts on. And they've got, you know, stiletto hammers, and they've got all these expensive tools, like $800 to $1,000 worth of tools just hanging off their tool belt. Do you know what I feel like doing? I just want to kind of go hide in the corner. I don't want anybody to see me and my tools. I'm just content to go sweep. Let me knock something down. I'm the grunt guy. I'll carry it. I'll move it. Whatever you need me to do. But to be honest with you, I'm kind of embarrassed about my lack of ability and the kind of tools I have. You know what? There's so many Christians in our churches today. You know what they do? They look at the spiritual gifts that God's given them, the tools that God has given them to serve them, and here's what they do. They compare themselves to other people. You know what Paul said about that? Those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And here's what they do. Oh, do you see how good she plays the piano? Do you see how wonderful they sing? I can't sing. I can't play the piano. I must be worthless to God. I can't preach, I can't teach, I don't have some of those abilities. Look at my little ability, I just want to take my little talent, my little gift, and I'm just going to go hide in the corner of the church somewhere, and I really hope nobody notices me, and I hope nobody asks me to do anything. Shame on you. Every one of us has been given at least one gift to serve God with, and He expects us to be using it for Him. And here is where we find our exhortation in Romans chapter 12, in verse 11. Exhortations for serious service for the Savior. By the way, before we read that verse, would you look at me? It is time. It is high time that we stopped playing church and stopped playing Christian, and we started getting serious about our lives being lived for Jesus Christ, and that we take our service for Him very, very seriously, understanding that eternity is coming, and only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. We need to be serious servants for Christ. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Here are the three exhortations that we find. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Exhortation number one, he says this, be faithful. There it says, not slothful in business. That means not to be lazy. The word business really refers to serving. It refers to the previous verses. Don't be lazy in using the gifts that God has given you in service for Him. The business refers to whatever service you ought to be doing for Jesus Christ. Do you like lazy people? I don't. I don't like working with lazy people. Do you know why? Two reasons. Number one, if you've ever worked with a lazy person, you have to do your job and then you have to do their job. That's frustrating. Number two, there's work that could be getting done and should be getting done that's not getting done because they're not doing what they ought to be doing. Have you ever heard the little phrase, the little cliche that's used in churches? It says, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. That ought to be the last time that's ever said at this church. It ought to be 90% of the people doing 100% of the work, and the 10% who don't get with God's program ought to be ashamed of themselves. We all ought to be getting busy for God. There is something that each of us can be doing for Jesus Christ. And he says, you are to be faithful, not slothful in business, not taking it lightly. You are to be faithful in your work for Jesus Christ. But can I tell you this? Don't get the cart before the horse. Your walk with God is more important than your work for God. But if your walk with God is what it ought to be, then you will, a natural response to my walk with God is a desire to serve Him, and I will be faithful in my work for Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is someone who has been given something by their master to accomplish a task for their master. And Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Master, has given us gifts and talents and abilities that He expects us to use for His purpose and His glory. And He says to all of us who has been given a gift, and all of us have, we are all stewards. He says, I require that you are faithful with the gift and the talents and the abilities that I have given you. Are you being faithful in your service for Jesus Christ? But you know what happens? We stop being faithful, we start quitting. We start giving up. We get discouraged. We get worn down. We get tired. We allow sin. We allow priority things to come into our lives. And instead of being faithful in our service for Jesus Christ, we become slothful, lazy, apathetic, or lethargic in our service for Jesus Christ. And that's not His plan. The first exhortation He gives to us tonight is be faithful in your service for Jesus Christ. Number two, look back with me at verse 11. He says, not slothful in business. Number two, he says, fervent in spirit. The second exhortation is be fervent. Do you know what we've lost in our churches? We have lost fervency. We have lost zeal. We have lost an enthusiasm for our God and His work. You know, some of us are so afraid to be excited and enjoy serving Christ. We have to have some kind of soberness and sobriety, don't you know? Let me ask you a question. What does the Bible say in Colossians 3:23? And whatsoever you do, do it soberly, as to the Lord and not unto men. Right? Whatsoever ye do it grumpily, as to the Lord and not unto men. You know what the Bible says, Colossians 3:23? Whatsoever ye do it heartily. With all, it's the idea of it's a totality of soul. It is, I am giving my entire being to it. It's an excitement. That's not a bad word. It's an enthusiasm. That is not a bad word. That is not rooted in my emotion. It is rooted in the person of my God and my love for Him. This is not about personality, people. This is about a spiritual passion that is rooted in the person of my God, my love for Him, and it is a desire to live for and please my God. It is my faith in my God and desire to please Him that is the fuel that fires my fervency. And he says we're to serve Him with fervency. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:2, and I love this verse. He says, your zeal hath provoked very many. Now let me give you the context. 2 Corinthians 9 is a very classic chapter in the New Testament on biblical giving. He is writing to these people in Corinth, and what he's saying is this. You people, they had been giving out of what little they had. They were sending funds to other Christians who were in a famine-type situation. They were really struggling financially. These people, although they did not have much, were giving what they had to help other people in need. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:2, Paul, speaking to them about their giving, says, your zeal hath provoked very many. You know what that means? When they gave, they weren't doing it this way. Well, man, I suppose I have to give a little something to those people who can't eat over there. So, well, I got a dollar. Hope the Lord can somehow take that and magnify it for His work. You know what these people were doing? There's a need. Man, what do I have? Lord, what have You given me? And they're emptying themselves. And they were excited to do it. They weren't whining and griping and complaining. They weren't going around telling everyone about the horrible sacrifice that they had to make in order to serve the Lord. They did it with zeal. They were excited that God had given them something so that they could give. And their zeal had provoked, it had stirred up other people to give. Can I tell you something? If you have a zeal that's rooted in your God and in His work, your zeal will provoke and encourage others to serve Jesus Christ. But I'm going to be honest with you, more than likely, if your church is like most churches in America, some of you are spiritual duds. And I say that kindly. But you come in with a critical spirit. Nobody can do anything right. You point out everybody's faults and failures. You come in to do the work. You come in with a dreary spirit. You come in with a horrible attitude. And people don't want to work around you. And they actually hope you don't show up because you're a downer. Can I tell you something? If that's you, you have a problem. You need to get some things right in your heart with God. Because you know what, my friend? The Bible makes it very plain. There is joy in serving Jesus Christ. And we ought to do it with all of our might. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. There ought to be a joy and enthusiasm in serving Jesus Christ. Listen to me, that is not based upon the results that I have or the job that I have to do. You see, sometimes we can do jobs that are exciting and we like to do them. And there are other jobs that are not as exciting. You know, when I was youth pastor, running a youth activity with 120 kids, that's pretty exciting. That's pretty fun. Cleaning up vomit outside the boys' bathroom is not. Okay? I've done both. I just want to tell you, there are some things that are more exciting to do than others. Can I tell you something? Yeah, it's exciting to have the opportunity to preach to 900 teens a couple weeks ago at the Harvest Rally in Connersville, Indiana. That's an exciting atmosphere. That's great. But what about when you go to a church that has 15 people, including your family of four? Can I tell you something? I preach just as hard. You know why? Because it's not about the size of the church, the number of people. It's the fact I'm serving Christ. And my enthusiasm and my joy for service cannot be based in the task I'm doing or who's doing it with me or what the results may be. Some of you, if you don't see immediate results or things aren't big and grand, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. You've got a wrong focus. And you are allowing things to manipulate your emotions rather than having a heart that is passionate for your God and His work. And He says you need to be fervent. You serve God faithfully and you serve Him fervently. However, there's a third challenge. He says at the end of the verse, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Here he challenges us, be focused. This is very interesting to me because he says here, you are serving the Lord. Look at me, I want to tell you something tonight, friend. I'm not here to serve Marquette Manor Baptist Church. Now, that's going to happen while I'm here, but that's not my ultimate goal. I'm serving the Lord. You see, here's what happens. When we lose our focus, when we get our eyes off Christ and realize who I'm serving, our focus goes one of three ways. Number one, it gets on people. Every time you get your eyes off of God and onto people, you are going to be one frustrated, disappointed person. Because people fail you. Matter of fact, that's why some of you have stepped out of service for Jesus Christ, because you said, I am just so tired of getting people to sign up for the nursery, and they say they're going to be there, and they don't. Or, I am finding myself doing this duty, and nobody appreciates what I'm doing, and I have these people, and they're critical of me, or I have sung, and I have performed, and they haven't told me how wonderful I really was, and that makes me upset. People don't really appreciate me. And Pastor, he thanked everybody else, and he forgot my name. And if that's the way it's going to be, I'm not going to serve. You got your focus on people. Look at me. When you get your eyes off of Christ and on to people, do you realize what that means? You aren't serving Christ anyway. You are serving your stinking self. You are concerned about what they thought rather than what Christ thinks. You get your eyes on people, you will be disappointed. Number two, you get your eyes off Christ and you get them onto your circumstances. You start looking at the task. You start looking at the actual work I had to do. Teenagers are interesting animals. Have you ever noticed that? I took teens on mission trips, and I'll just use one as an illustration. We took teens to Suriname one year, and we had the wonderful privilege of painting the inside and outside of the Champlain's compound, which is probably in circumference about the size of this building, 6.5 feet walled, inside and outside, 6 coats of paint. The most watery, ugly blue paint you've ever seen in your life. It was horrible. Now, here's what teenagers do. And don't get too hard on me, but here's what they do. When you have a team and you're working, they come in for lunch, they sit down at the table, and they say, what were you doing? Now, why do they ask that question? It's interesting. Well, I was out painting. And the other kid says, oh, yeah? I got to ride in the canoe with the missionary to go get lunch. That was the special job for the cool teenager. Now, here's some kid who's just spent 4 hours in 100-degree sun. Their shoulders are aching from doing this motion. And here's a kid who all he did was ride in a canoe and got to have a Coke and bring the lunch. And what does that do? Why do I have to do all this? And here's what happens. One person starts griping about the job they have to do, and the other person gets filled with pride about the job they got to do. They start looking at the task itself. Look at me. Some of you have gotten your eyes off of Christ, and you've started looking at the job, the focus of the actual ministry or job you have to do, and you've gotten frustrated with it. Can I tell you something? You've gotten your eyes off of Christ. You need to get them back on Christ, onto the Lord, if you're going to serve Him faithfully and with fervency, because you will be robbed of your fervency. You will be robbed of your faithfulness if your focus is wrong and you've gotten it off of Christ and onto people or onto the circumstance, or third of all, you'll get them onto yourself. I can't do that. I'm not as gifted as they are. Pastor, I could never do that because I am not as gifted. There are other people in the church way more qualified to do that than I am. Or then we start having pity parties for ourselves, and the list goes on and on of how, when we get our eyes off the Lord and got Him into ourselves, how that wrong focus takes our service in a wrong direction. And He says here very plainly, you are to be focused. We are to be serving Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 1:10, for do I persuade men or God, or do I yet seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The Bible goes on to say in Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And then in Colossians 3:24, the Bible says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall of the Lord receive the reward of the inheritance, listen, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Every one of us will receive a reward from Christ according to our own labor. And it doesn't matter how menial the task. It doesn't matter what it is. If Christ wants us to do it and we're doing it for Him, we're being faithful and we're being fervent, the Bible says, and we have the right focus, we're serving Christ, you will be rewarded by Christ for that task. And that ought to encourage us. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you a serious servant for our Savior? Are you faithful? Are you fervent? And are you focused? You know what I would love? And this probably won't happen. But you know, one day, I am going to stand before Jesus Christ. The one who died for me, who gave me His life, who forgave my sins and has given me a relationship with God. I'm going to look into the literal eyes of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know what I want to hear Him say to me? Well done, my faithful, focused, and fervent servant. May that be the cry of our hearts as we take our service for the Savior seriously. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me tonight?